What do you love and hope to never lose due to climate chaos? That is the powerful question that inspires the Ribbon Project. What do you love and hope to never lose due to climate chaos? What do you love? The question begins by making it personal. All of us are affected. All of us are nature. All of us have bodies. All of us are connected in thousands of ways to the planet, through the food we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe, the land we step upon, the trees that inspire us, the animals that charm us, the walks and hikes and vista points that refresh us, the weather that passes over us, the rising temperatures and persistent drought of Southern California, the rising oceans worldwide, the increase in number and intensity of hurricanes in the Gulf and eastern U.S., the floods, the storms, the melting ice caps, the human refugees forced to leave an environment that no longer sustains them, the plants and animals that cannot leave, so they stay and suffer. What do you love? Here are some answers that people have written as part of this ribbon project. The smell of wet grass at dawn. The tree that I planted in my grandma's yard when I was 4. Being able to drink water from the tap. Big skies in the painted desert. Rivers and streams, the sound of water hitting the rocks. The answers create a kind of poem portrait of the beauty of nature, the senses of smell, taste, sight, and sound, small and anonymous like grass, enormous like the sky. For me, I loved the apricot tree in my backyard when I used to live in Burbank. How in the spring the branches would explode with fragrant blossoms, and then how for 1 week in June all of the fruit would come ripe all at once. I could pick apricots straight from a branch and bite into the sweet flesh, and my dogs would wait under the tree, waiting for a treat to fall. I love the canyons and the rock formations of Utah. I love the redwoods of Northern California. I loved skinny dipping one day in Bear Lake in the Trinity Alps. Jim and I drove to the end of a dirt road. We hiked steeply up a ridge into the thin air of high elevation. And then over the ridge, we scrambled down the other side over broken rocks, wondering how we would ever get back up again. After 4 hours hiking, we arrived at this clear, gorgeous lake in a crevice between steep mountains. We took off our clothes, feeling daring, and got in the water. The upper 6 inches or so of the lake had been heated by the sun, but any deeper than that, and the water turned freezing. So we floated on the surface, being careful not to stir up the cold water. Fish below us and insects above, I loved feeling the animal nature of my human body in a mountain lake beneath a clear sky. What do you love is the question. The question moves from the personal fact to the personal emotion. We are not neutral about the earth. We love the earth. The earth gives us life. The earth is our mother. Gaia, the primal earth mother in Greek mythology, we walk gently across your back, the lap in which we live. Her Roman name is Terra. From Gaia, from the earth, comes Uranus, the sky god, and from their union comes first the Titans and then all the gods and goddesses of Olympus. We are family with the earth. We are descendants of the earth. We are earth's children, and from our one mother comes all sustenance, all pleasure, all nurture, all life for all of our days. As Carl Sagan said of the pale blue dot that we call home when seen from space, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives, the aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and every peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. We live here, specifically here, on this earth. We love this dust mote, our blue boat home, everything we can love, ever have loved, ever will love, sails with us on this boat. What do you love and hope to never lose? Well, all of it, of course. We love it all. And what we love, we want to keep and care for. But it's helpful to be specific. Not to say, well, all of it, of course, but to be particular, to name something, some one thing, something precise enough to be described on a length of ribbon, to make the abstract threat of climate change concrete and personal, to see how much is at stake, to see how the fragile, vulnerable beauty of the earth can flutter in the breeze like a leaf or a ribbon tied to a tree, to share with a friend, to hold in the hand, to remind us what we love and what we may lose. If you are 8-year-old Levi Draheim, living with your mother in Satellite Beach, Florida, south of Orlando, on a barrier island between Indian River Lagoon and the Atlantic Ocean, what you love is your home, 13 feet above sea level. And if you are 8-year-old Levi Draheim, then your mother is Leanne, a religious educator at the Unitarian Universalist Church in West Melbourne, Florida. In 2015, at their church, a minister told Leanne and Levi about a lawsuit that was being organized by a group called Our Children's Trust. The lawsuit presents the argument that the United States government has created and actively supports a national energy policy that threatens the constitutional rights of future generations of Americans to life, liberty, and property by furthering the conditions that lead to global climate change. If you are Levi Draheim, you join the lawsuit as the youngest of 21 co-plaintiffs, all under the age of 21. The lawsuit, called Juliana versus the United States, was filed in the District Court of Oregon on August 12, 2015. The plaintiffs come from across the U.S., and similar lawsuits are also filed or are planned in several U.S. states and also in nations around the world where the legal systems allow this kind of action. The demand is that the U.S. government implement an energy policy that reduces atmospheric concentrations of CO2 to levels that would contain the rise of global temperature under 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels. In the words of one of the young plaintiffs, "The federal government has known for decades that CO2 pollution from burning fossil fuels was causing global warming and dangerous climate change. Defendants did nothing to prevent this harm. In fact, my government increased the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere to levels it knew was unsafe." Juliana versus the United States claims that the U.S. government has failed in its most essential duty, protecting its citizens. The plaintiffs demand that the United States must value the lives of the next generation above the economic interests and convenience of the current generation. Giuliana versus the United States demands that the United States, and we are the United States, must take seriously our obligation to be stewards of the earth, caretakers, not consumers, respecters and preservers, not despoilers and thieves. Temperatures and CO2 levels are hard to understand. The timeline of climate change is long. The change is gradual. The worst effects always seem distant from us by decades or by geography. The 21 young people suing the government force us to see how alarmingly close the future is, though, to some of us, how personal the threat really is. What do you love and hope to never lose due to climate chaos? Here are the answers the children of our congregation wrote a week ago on their ribbons. I love flowers. I hope they never die. I hope in 20 or more years I can see the national parks like the Grand Canyon. I love animals and their home. I love Earth because I love me and Mom and Dad. I love fruits and vegetables. I love trees and flowers. I love kittens. My dad loves tortoises. Keep oceans clean for swimming. I love butterflies. I love the way we have enough food to go around. I love the beach. I love the water in the pool. Trees, flowers, and plants for oxygen. I love the beaches and would hate to lose them. I love birds. I would hate to lose the bears and bees. Everything is built from bees. I love my mommy. I love the butterflies. I wish to not lose any animals or our beloved water sources. I love Mother Earth because she helps us live. I love her with all my heart. The court case has been wending its way through the courts, as these things do. Like our national response to climate change, the court case has suffered from much debate and much delay. But then, just this month, there was some good news. A trial date has now been set, October 29th, 2018. Julia Olson, Executive Director and Chief Legal Counsel of Our Children's Trust and co-lead counsel for the youth plaintiffs, said, "We have our trial date. In the coming months, there will be depositions of the parties, defendants' disclosure of their experts, and expert depositions in late summer. We will build a full factual record for trial so that the court can make the best informed decision in this crucial constitutional case." Department of Justice attorneys representing the Trump administration told Judge Coffin that the trial date he set won't work for defendants. They claimed they needed additional time to address expert witness reports and find rebuttal experts for every one of the plaintiff's experts, to which Judge Coffin asked, "Where am I missing something? Given your admissions in this case, what is it about the science that you intend to contest with your rebuttal witnesses?" Jacob LaBelle, a 21-year-old plaintiff from Roseburg, Oregon, said, "It's amazing to have finally overcome the smokescreen delay tactics of the U.S. government and to be headed to trial with such amazing strengthened momentum. A transparent and science-based trial is at the core of our judicial system and democracy, and will ensure that climate justice will be given the appropriate urgency and importance." Levi Draheim, who's now age 10, says, "I work hard to protect the environment and animals near my home. I want my government to work hard to protect my future and the future of the animals and ecosystems in our country." Levi's island home on the coast of Florida has already been impacted by environmental issues, from red algal blooms to increasing storms due to climate change. After Hurricane Matthew, Levi volunteered, replanting the dunes at the beach, where he also does litter cleanups. He speaks at marches and rallies in his neighborhood to bring attention to the risk climate change poses to low-lying Florida. He is also a painter and a dreamer who says he joined the lawsuit to imagine and build a better future. Levi says, "You have to find the way of nature." You have to find the way of nature. What is the way of nature? The way of nature is to change. Nature flows. Nature moves. Nature transforms. Life springs up unexpectedly, abundantly. It starts, struggles, flourishes, reproduces, dies. All things pass. The smell of wet grass at dawn won't last forever, no matter what we do. That tree that I planted in my grandma's yard when I was 4 will live maybe a long time, but no lawsuit will give it immortality. Everything that we love, we will lose. That is the way of nature. Maybe there will always be big skies in the painted desert and the sound of water hitting the rocks, but surely there will be a time when no person is alive to see or hear these things we love. That is the way of nature. And that truth of impermanence may be one reason that some of us hear warnings of climate change and we shrug our shoulders. Continents shift. For millions of years, changing environments have led some forms of life to extinction and others to take their place. The earth will be fine. And a misanthrope might say there's nothing particularly special about human life that demands we take extraordinary steps to preserve it. And if we take down 90% of the other forms of current life with us, well, other forms of life will come along after. This is the same argument that finds comfort in the assumption that decades and distance will keep us personally safe from climate change, merely expanded up into the realm of eons. But the argument betrays a stunning selfishness, only pretending at profundity. We are not isolated beings. We are connected across decades and distance and even eons. We are not our own brief lives and narrow egos alone. Distance and decades will not protect our spirits when by our actions our fellows on the earth suffer, when the next generation suffers. We are them. We are most obviously them in our own children, but in all children, even if we aren't parents ourselves, through all creatures, through all life, in all times. We are the earth. We are the spirit, rising green, here now in these bodies and later in other bodies, but always the same spirit. We are not getting off the boat, but ever will return again and again, which is the lesson of this Easter season. What we do to ourselves now, we do to ourselves for eons to come. This is it. Thus, our spiritual responsibility is to be stewards as much as it is our legal responsibility. For the things we value, it is our soul's duty to nurture and sustain. For the things that we love, it is our duty to sacrifice and care. We know that all things end, but it is an impoverished spirit that says, therefore, the temporary things have no value. The mature spirit knows it is precisely because all things end that things have value while they exist. The flowers, the trees, the butterflies, the beaches. Now is our one chance to love the earth and all things in it. Now is our chance to love the lakes and the canyons and the bees that build everything, to be fully alive in swimming, climbing, breathing, working, planting, painting, dreaming, imagining, building a better future. The way of nature is to love life fully while we have it, and knowing that we are mortal, to create the conditions for life to continue after we are gone. It is then not only to the next generation, but to our own, if we would be fully alive, that we owe the stewardship of this earth. May it be so.